All right, Jays Talk time on the Sportsnet Radio Network. We're on the Sportsnet app and streaming live on sportsnet.ca as well. Show Ali Julia Kreutz. Some observations, Jules, following an 11-6 Jays loss to the Orioles in Dunedin. And, you know, I did want to spend some time a little bit later on because we haven't had Jays Talk in a while. We can chat Joey Votto, maybe Donaldson's retirement, what we saw from Ricky Tiedemann yesterday. So some things outside of today's ballgame. But why don't we start with what we got to in the ballgame that we had just on the radio and on TV down at TD Ballpark in Dunedin. There also was the split squad game in Sarasota, which oddly ended a 6-6 tie. That's how that game ended.
Yeah, a tie on a split squad day is just the epitome of spring training, isn't it?
It is. It really is. The crowd in Sarasota probably was kind of like, oh, ties. But I mean, whatever. At least it didn't happen in Dunedin, where they did lose 11-6, the Blue Jays. But we'll get to the split squad game in a sec here. You heard Joe Siddall talk about it during the game. You say Kikuchi. And he did not have the command he displayed so often last year or even for much of the spring so far this year. I do often say that I'm not worried about results in the spring, but I also always say that because it's less about the scouting report being used against the guy in the batter's box and more about seeing repeatable actions. So Santander and Holiday both go yard off Kikuchi early. But you know what? He did bounce back. He even got Holiday when he threw the three consecutive breaking balls. So at least he finished the outing on a somewhat positive note.
Yeah, and, you know, again, showed the most important thing here is that he is building up. He threw 60 pitches. He is very much on track. He's healthy and all of that. And you're going to look at that first when you're talking about spring outings. That said, he did look more like 2022, you say, than he did 2023, you say. And that's still obviously at the back of your mind here, right? Can he replicate what he did last year, or are we going to see Kikuchi regress a little bit and maybe show glimpses of what we saw in his first year with the Blue Jays here? It's still a little bit of a balance for him, and it seemed odd at the very least that it seemed like the velocity was there, but I don't know if, you know, he went in that Grand Slam to Jackson Holiday, who's up 0-2. Throws a pretty good, you know, up in the zone fastball there, a challenging pitch for sure. And Holiday just smoked it. Mm. It was really, really impressive to see the effortless power that that he has at 20 years old. I mean, the development is not all the way done with a guy like Jackson Holiday, but and the swag too, right, Show? He just drops the bat and he watches it, and there's a little bit of a pep in the step and all of that. I don't know if a little bit it threw Yusei off a little bit because it was the fastball, and then he just wasn't confident enough in that pitch anymore. He comes out of the game with two outs in the first, comes back on later on to you know, get his pitch count in and things like that. It seems like an outlier, Show, because we have seen him dominate more often than not this spring. But now when the Blue Jays are starting to see a little bit more of regular major league players in the opposing teams and opposing lineups, the challenge changes a little bit. And we need to keep an eye on Yusei because, yes, last year was pretty stellar, and that is what we expect of him. That is what we know that he's capable of. But we also remember the command issues and just the overall lack of stability that we saw in 2022. And the numbers today is exactly that, right? It was 2 1/3, yeah. Five strikeouts, if I'm not mistaken, six earned runs, two walks, two home runs allowed. It was like, it was very 2022 Yusei Kikuchi. Am I concerned? Not necessarily, but this is certainly something that is going to be at least at the back of my mind next time that he steps onto the mound here in Florida, Show.
Yeah, me too. And again, I just want to see what his reaction is, because he seemed to settle down after the runs. And yeah, I mean, inflated because he gave up a grand slam to Jackson Holiday. Honestly, my takeaway more than anything else was that Jackson Holiday is going to be a real problem, essentially, certainly for all of baseball, but for mostly the AL East. It's funny because you and I had this conversation about Juan Soto, and I mean, you know, I don't mean to compare the two, but Juan Soto was also a highly touted prospect, and he at least has been around for long enough that you know his play has actually translated from being highly touted prospect to elite baseball player, and he's going to be a problem as well for the AL East. He hit his fourth home run of spring training for the Yankees today, so that's for sure its own thing. But Jackson Holliday, 20-year-old, like you said, Jackson Holliday, a team that won 101 games is going to, if they don't break camp with this guy, are going to at some point call up very soon Holliday to probably be their everyday second baseman. The number one prospect in all of baseball, probably going to help out a team that just won over 100 games last year. So, again, I don't know how it's going to shake out wins-wise for the Orioles, but right. I can't imagine. I know the Yankees are probably going to be good this year. I can't see the Orioles falling off that much, especially if they're going to call up a guy like Holliday.
And listen, I know that there's still development to be had here for Holliday, and he is originally a shortstop. He's kind of learning the ropes as he goes at second base. And this was his first homer of the spring. So Orioles fans had to wait a little bit longer to see it. What a way to pay it off, anyway. But it seems to me, Sho, like we are walking in the direction of Jackson Holliday breaking camp with the Orioles, which is not only impressive, it's pretty scary if you're the Blue Jays or any other AL East team. And I am curious to hear from you. Do you think that Holliday has done enough so far to actually make the opening day roster here?
He probably has to do a teensy bit more, but hitting a grand slam off a major league pitcher in the first inning is a pretty good way to continue that. I think from what we'd seen in spurts, he probably had done enough defensively. And the thing, too, is with so many young guys, pretty much all the most talented players come up at shortstop because, like, you know, when you're younger, you're usually the most athletic person on the field, and it's the place where you can kind of show that off with the most range and to the best of your ability before you find a place where you settle down. So, like, for example, does that necessarily mean like Arjun Namala will eventually be a shortstop, even though he is now maybe not? He could be, but maybe not, right? So same goes for Holliday. So I kind of expect him to be one of the kind of like the Reds, right? A glut of infielders, very talented ones. But I think Holliday probably does break camp with the Orioles in the end, but he does have to do a teensy bit more over the next, like, what, 18-19 days in order to get there.
That would be so exciting, not just for, you know, AL East teams. Well, okay, let me rephrase that. That would be very exciting for baseball fans as a whole, and I gotta say, I'm pretty happy about this. I think that the game has a lot to gain from a guy like Holliday making the majors sooner rather than later.
We got to see a couple of Blue Jays relievers today as well, and we don't have to talk about every single one of them. I mean, Jordan Romano seemed to labor a little bit towards the end of the game, but, they kind of were checking on him, and you heard Arden Zwelling during the game talking about, you know, finding some kind of inefficiency in his delivery, which might help him avoid injury last year because he did get injured last season. But Chad Green's a guy, Jules, who I think can... Because I think there's a question for me as to if you're trying to alleviate the workload on Jordan Romano, who can that guy be now that Jordan Hicks is no longer a member of this ball club? And I kind of think it could be Chad Green. And I've always been a big fan of having Jimmy Garcia as a setup guy, but Chad Green probably will, you know, occupy some of that space, that territory as well. But I mean, as Joe said during the game, you could probably see Chad Green take some closing chances if they do want to manage the workload on Romano. He did kind of struggle today, gives up some hits. Santander hit his second home run of the game off of Chad Green, so not great, obviously. But again, for me, for Green, it's mostly about him just getting his routine down early, considering he didn't pitch until, what, September last year? I think his first pitch was around Labor Day last season, so it's the first time in a Jays uniform he's got in a couple of years that he's gotten in a regular start to spring. So again, I'm less worried about Chad Green because we did see him settle down once he actually got into game action last year as well.
I don't know, Sho. I got to say that after today, I am a little bit concerned.
Okay. What concerns you about it?
So here's the thing. His first outing was very good, mm-hmm. right? He threw a clean inning. He had a strikeout and everything was fine. That was February 26th against the Pirates. Since then, he's had three outings, and there hasn't been a clean outing since. In March, opponents are batting 5-6-3 against him. And yes, we are seeing the strikeouts, and we are seeing the potential of Chad Green, but we are not seeing the dominant stuff that he portrayed with the Yankees. I understand that he's coming out of an injury. I understand that he's still getting into game rhythm for sure. And you're not just going to, you know, pick back up after having a year or so off because of injury. At the same time, the time has come for him to, you know, actually settle in here. And that's just not what we have seen so far. He threw 27 pitches today. That's good. That's up from his past couple of outings. It's just difficult for me to see a high leverage position for him if he can't show at least a little bit in the spring that he can indeed fill that role and he can indeed find consistency for the Blue Jays. These past three outings have not at all gone the way that I believe Green would expect. Mm-hmm. It, you know, especially against the Yankees early on, he allows a couple of homers, ends the game with the two earned runs, and you're going to hear that, no, he's not super concerned. He's a veteran. He understands that these things are part of the game and they're part of the spring buildup, but then it happens again, and then it happens again. And if the home runs continue to be a problem as well, then there is not a ton of confidence, at least for me, that this is a guy that can indeed, you know, relieve someone like Jordan Romano. I wouldn't trust this version of Chad Green
right.
to pitch in high leverage innings just yet. He does need to find a little bit more consistency in my mind.
Do you think the guy that could alleviate some stress on Jordan Romano, do you think that guy is on the team then? Because we also got to see today Jimmy Garcia, Yenesis Cabrera, Eric Swanson for his first outing. We can talk about Swanson certainly as well. But like, is that guy on the team, or you think it's or in the system perhaps, or because he could be a minor leaguer, I suppose, as well. But or do you think that's something like, you know, in 2 months we're going to be talking about like the Jays' biggest shopping list wants at the trade deadline, a reliever to relieve Jordan Romano. Is that guy on the roster right now, you think?
That's a good question. I don't think you can ever have too much pitching, and the bullpen for a contending team is always going to be something that we talk about in the sense of can they add, how can they add, and who can they add, for sure. This is going to be a topic from as long as this window of contention is open, we are going to talk about the Blue Jays adding to the bullpen, period. However, we saw Eric Swanson today, his first outing of the preseason, looked pretty good, pretty sharp.
Yeah.
We have a guy like Jimmy Garcia as well, who could, again, inconsistencies, right? Especially over the past couple of seasons. But we know that he is able to fill a role that's similar to the one that Jordan Romano plays for the Blue Jays. He did that with the Astros before joining the Blue Jays. There are certainly internal options, show, but you know, that's what the trade deadline is for, and that is an area in which every contending team, I believe, is always going to be looking to add, just because the turnover is so large and it's such an unpredictable part of the game that you can really, truly, like, the cliche exists for a reason. You can never have too much relief pitching.
Yeah, you know, people always say when you talk about hockey, the kind of cliche is like goaltenders can be voodoo because you never really know. I often feel that can certainly with starting pitchers, but more so with relief pitchers because things can swing so heavily year to year, not just because of injuries. I mean, look at the Orioles, for example. I mean, did anyone think last year Yennier Cano was going to be the guy he ended up being? Probably not, based on where things stood at the beginning of the season. And similarly for the Blue Jays, we've had guys kind of come out of the, maybe not the woodwork, but they've gone out and changed things mid-year. So maybe you're right. Maybe that guy is not on the team. Maybe it can come from a Jimmy Garcia. Maybe Chad Green does turn it around. But I have a feeling when it comes to another closer type that you can deploy instead of Jordan Romano, I mean, I'm sure if he's pitched 3 days in a row, maybe Jimmy Garcia will be given the chance. But if you just don't want to get to that spot, it's possible they'll have to go get someone from another team. And like you say, you can never have enough pitching if you are a contender. You mentioned Swanson. We don't spend too long on Swanson just because he didn't pitch a lot. But he did nab a strikeout against some non-major league regulars. So I think the next step for me is just I want to see what he looks like against more major league regulars. Sure. But just like generally speaking, It's good to hear that his son is doing well after the scary incident with him. It's good to see Swanson feels well enough about that situation that he can actually devote some attention to baseball, which obviously that's more important. But
for sure.
But that he was able to actually play today and concentrate on it clearly means things are going well. Actually on the mound, he looked pretty good. So you just want to see him repeat that a little bit more.
Yeah. First of all, I can only imagine, right? having to deal with a situation like that, your four-year-old son getting struck by a car, yeah. and nothing else matters, right, Sho? At that point, nothing else matters. He spoke to media recently, I believe it was yesterday, and he said, we are very lucky that everything is okay. Toby is expected to go home in a few days, which is also extremely good news. And now Swanson gets to transition back to his day-to-day a little bit more. Obviously, you know, there's still a lot of attention that's being paid to what's happening with Toby, but
for sure.
But this is tremendous news for him to just be able to start his actual spring progression and come out here and pitch as well as he did, right? A clean inning, a strikeout. The splitter looked good. That pitch was elite last year, had a run value of 12, which is a really, really good. And we saw it again. His fastball was touching 94, which is also pretty impressive for the first time out yeah. In spring. So we saw a lot of encouraging and relieving aspects for Swanson. You are right. He's going to need to ramp it up a little bit. I'm sure he's going to get a chance to face major leaguers very soon, but all signs point to the Erik Swanson that we have come to know and appreciate out of the Blue Jays bullpen in 2023.
Yeah, like you said about Chad Green, you want to see things trend upwards. I mean, for everyone, obviously, but you want to see that for a lot of the pitchers, certainly. And, well, maybe we haven't seen that for Green. It is good to see Erik Swanson start at a certain point, given that he had not pitched really at all since spring started. So good to see that. Also good to see things continue along the right track for one Alejandro Kirk. I feel like he and Kikuchi might be the guys we talk about the most, honestly, like you and I
right.
specifically.
Yeah.
But Kirk, hits another home run today. He had actually hit a lot of his home runs in the spring on the road. So nice to see that he saved one for the Dunedin faithful at TD Ballpark. But again, a normal start to the spring for him in terms of routine. And you had said to me in the pregame show earlier this afternoon that we can't underrate the idea of routines helping these guys out yeah. when it comes to the getting off to a normal start. And then Kirk also laced one down the left field line a little bit later on as well. So he clearly is, I think, ready to go. Like if my yeah. biggest takeaways of like the regular position players on this team are that Bo, Vladdy, and Kirk are all pretty much locked in at this point, which is good to see.
Very good to see. I will say this, okay? The homer today, a little bit of a caveat. It was an opposite field homer. It wouldn't have been a home run in any MLB ballpark. So, you know, you kind of put an asterisk
sure, okay.
Next to that. Still, with Kirk, the main thing is always going to be, is he putting the ball in the air? We have spoken about that a little bit too. If he's putting the ball on the ground, most likely he is going to be an easy out for the defense. But what we're seeing pretty consistently this spring training is that the ball is actually finding the gaps and going in the air. And that is allowing Kirk to find the success that he has. All but one show of his spring training hits so far have been for extra bases.
There you go.
That means quite a lot for a guy like Kirk. And not only that, but he is getting some very, very good innings in with the major league pitching staff, getting on the same page with these guys. That is equally as important because his game calling and his defense are also something that the Blue Jays value quite a bit. And so this is tremendous news for the Blue Jays. If he can continue to swing the bat the way that he has, something else to point out, and this is something that we talk about quite a bit, the bat to ball skills and the ability not to strike out. He's had 17 at bats so far this preseason. He has only struck out twice. So that shows, and he hasn't walked, show. So that shows you that he's seeing the ball well and he is hitting the ball well, which is always going to be good news for the Blue Jays, who rely, honestly, quite a bit on Kirk to provide not only those runs batted in, but also a little bit of pop with his bat.
It would be nice, too, if you can have Kirk and or Jansen, and they don't have to be batting in the exact same place, obviously, whenever either of them are in the lineup, but it would be nice if you don't have to count on Kirk to be, like, the cleanup hitter necessarily, right? I know Justin Turner was signed kind of for that reason, so you can have it go Springer, Bo, Vladdy, Turner. But if your fifth guy is Kirk, or even if someone else emerges, can be that fifth guy and Kirk's hitting fifth or sixth, depending on who the pitcher is on that particular day, I think that bodes pretty well for a Jays lineup that really did struggle with offensive power last season. So you'd want to see that a little bit more from Kirk. But again, I think even more than home runs, what you said, I think rings the most true about, I just don't want to see him put the ball on the ground.
For sure.
Too many times did I see him hit into double plays last year, and which led to calls on Jay's Talk. And we're talking about, do you pretty much have to start the runner from first every time Kirk's at the plate just to avoid having guys ground into double plays? Like, is this what needs to happen at this point? And they kind of did that for a little bit, but you want to avoid that situation completely. And so far, so good in the spring. I wanted to get to the split squad game, Jules, as well. Again, 6-6 was the final score.
Sorry, I just get so excited, Cho, about split squad games. And it was a tie? Are you
kidding me? Yeah. I know that's like a spring training specialty, but it is still funny to like open your apps and see the tie, 6-6 in the box score. Ernie Clement hits a 3-run bomb off Corbin Burns. Brian Servin with a 2-run shot, also off of Burns. We'll get to Servin in a sec, but Jules, Ernie Clement is making this team, is he not?
He's a major leaguer, Show. If he's not a major leaguer in Toronto, he will be one elsewhere. I don't see how it would be different. We know that he is out of options for minor leagues, so he is either going to break camp with this team or some team is going to claim him off waivers. There is just no way around it. He's hitting so well, and it would be in the Blue Jays' best interest, honestly, to keep this guy on the team, not just because he's hitting so well, but also because let's not let anyone else have this, right?
Yeah,
it's very much I'm looking out for myself, and I'm also looking around at the competition. It does seem like he is ready to go, and that is extremely good news for the Blue Jays. I understand that the infield picture is so crowded right now, especially with the addition of Joey Votto and all of that. There are so many moving pieces for the Blue Jays to figure out in that infield. But at the end of the day, if you're producing, that should matter more than other things for a contending team. I understand that. You know, every team has its peculiarities and things that managers and front office is going to look at and evaluate. But it seems like for the Blue Jays, when it comes to run production, when it comes to having a guy that you can trust that will be ready to go, Clement is proving that he can be that guy. Is he going to play every day? Probably not, because again, it's a pretty crowded infield picture, and the Blue Jays have a ton of stars that are going to fill that lineup. But it does seem like he is on the way here to break camp with the Blue Jays.
I wonder if Clement's role could be the guy on, like, as a part of the platoon at second, just because we haven't seen a lot. I mean, certainly from Biggio, he had the shoulder thing. We haven't seen a lot from Espinal, although I almost feel like Espinal must have looked at the box score in Sarasota, said, "Oh, geez, Ernie Clement hit a 3-run bomb. I guess I better get it going," because he did hit the 2-run ground rule double. But still, I mean, if you're picking two guys, and I mean, Davis Schneider, I mean, you and I had asked about, we talked about this earlier in the spring. I mean, what does he have to do to not make the team? And I think he hasn't shown a lot of flashy moments offensively at the very least. So I wonder if Clement has a teensy bit of a lead over some of these other guys right this second. That's going to be a really interesting battle to watch as we get closer to, certainly to opening day. And we're continually hearing about guys getting sent down after games and so on as they kind of shorten the roster a little bit. So Ernie Clement, definitely a big part of that. Brian Servin, he's not going to make the team out of opening day because I think his battle is largely as the organization's third catcher. But again, he hits the 2-run shot off of Burns. He's gotten some run here a little bit throughout the first little while of camp. You said to me during the game that Peyton Henry is pretty much the only other guy that they're battling it out with. I expect them both probably to be in the organization, just generally speaking, because you need the depth. You need the organizational depth.
Sure.
But like, where are you at? Are you think Servin is at the top of the battle? We did see Peyton Henry come in very late in game, and he didn't really do a lot. But Servin has played well.
Yeah, it's that is definitely a question, Show. Who is, the quote-unquote third catcher? We know that in a pinch, Dalton Varsho can fill in that role for the Blue Jays, but the front office has been very clear about wanting to veer away from that as much as possible. When you only have two catchers on your 40-man roster, there may be a day when the Blue Jays need to get a little creative with how they do things. But for the most part, Dalton Varsho is expected to be an outfielder, and that's it. As for Servin and Peyton Henry, they're both having really, really strong spring campaigns, and it does seem like one of the two would fill in that role. It's definitely encouraging to see a guy like Servin go deep and you know, get the best of Corbin Burns, to be sure. But his presence in the Sarasota game kind of speaks a little bit to me about where the organization is at when it comes to that number three catcher. Henry was with the main squad, right? He was catching, if I'm not mistaken, he caught Jordan Romano and Eric Swanson in this game. So right. He's getting the looks at the major league pitchers with the regulars here. Whereas Servin was in the Sarasota game, which was, you know, there were fewer regular guys or fewer regular pitchers, to be sure, for the Blue Jays. And so it could be nothing, but to me it indicates that Henry may have a little bit of an edge, because right now he is getting that unique chance of getting to know the major league pitchers a little bit better. I don't know if that makes sense to you.
No,
but
I gotcha.
But you know, when you're looking at the numbers, they're pretty comparable numbers. Both are having very, very strong campaigns here.
Yeah, it said to you in the pregame show that I thought it spoke well of all of Barger, Servin, Alan Roden, and Phil Clark as well, that they got the nod after some guys like Spencer Horwitz and Ernie Clement and Nathan Lucas and David Schneider, who'd all gotten time in the big league. So that Barger, Servin, Roden, and Clark had some time to fill out the bottom four in a lineup, even if it was a split squad game. Again, I thought that spoke well of them, but you're right in that Henry is getting some chances to be around the major league pitchers. I mean, again, you do just need the organizational depth in order to continue down the road, because there's no more Tyler Heineman in the organization, for example. You're going down to Dunedin next weekend or the weekend after?
Yeah, sure am. As we look out the window here, show, and see the snow just flurry around, I'm like, just take me to Florida. But yeah. Soon enough, I'll be there in a week, actually.
I will look forward then to your detailed, comprehensive report on Peyton Henry's his stance within this organization.
I will send you daily text messages about that. Through the text line.
Oh, only through the text line? Okay. No, no personal text? Okay.
This is a professional relationship show. I will use the text line.
I wanted to get to Ricky Tiedemann and Joey Votto. And neither of those guys obviously played today, but we haven't had Jays talk in a while, so fun to get to those results.
Sure.
So, you know, let me go with Tiedemann, because he did pitch in yesterday's ballgame. He went 1 1/3. He allowed 2 hits, 1 run, which was earned. It was a solo home run given up to Nick Castellanos. 2 strikeouts. The slider looked good, looked pretty good for a young man. But I think more than anything with Tiedemann, for a guy who is the literal number one prospect in the Blue Jays organization, good for him to just get out some, I keep using this term, repeatable actions, just getting out there. Certainly some things that'll be left to be desired, notably the home run to Castellanos, but good for him to be just healthy and feeling good, because he was slated to get the spring opener, did not get that game because of the knee/hamstring issue. So that he is healthy and on his way to continue being built up. He said after the game yesterday that Pete Walker and him were having the conversation, and then, you know, it's going to be maybe 3 innings the next time out. Maybe they'll get close to 5 or 6 by the time the spring ends. That's what you want to hear out of your top prospect, essentially, I think.
Yeah, and these conversations are also valuable in different ways, right? So these are the moments in which a young guy is going to learn. There is a lesson in allowing a spring home run to Nick Castellanos. There is. And he spoke about it even a little bit after his outing. He said, yeah, I was speaking to Chris Bassett. Great mentor to have, right? Show to have a guy like that who is willing to bounce ideas and help you learn through the process. And said, well, what Chris Bassett told me was, don't try to get too cute with your stuff. That is when guys will get the better of you, especially veteran guys who have been doing it for a long time. And, you know, for Tiedemann to understand that and to just be like, I need to be on attack mode. I need to trust my stuff. I can't get overly precious with every pitch, because that is how I get into trouble. And having a veteran guy like Bassett be the one to tell you that, it just rings differently. So these spring outings are as much about, you know, for a young guy, results or development, as they are about lessons learned and actually keeping things in the back of your mind when you go back out on the mound the next time out and you're looking at an extended start. You're looking at 3 innings and later on 5 innings or whatever it may be. and just remember who you are and what you can do, because the talent is there. The mentality seems to be there too. And so minimizing the mistakes and just staying within his game plan is going to be huge for Tiedemann. And we expect to see him in the majors this year. So every outing here is going to matter a whole lot so that he can come in to Toronto as prepared as he can possibly be.
Yeah, I think we do see him sooner than the All-Star break as before. I kind of feel like the All-Star break is the unofficial, even if it might not be the split right down the middle between in 162, it's kind of viewed as the unofficial halfway point of the season, I think,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like, we usually refer to, I believe, first half, second half is usually based on
the
All-Star
break. The All-Star break, right. Yeah. So if that's the case, I would usually say, okay, maybe the time you see prospects A, B, or C are going to be after the All-Star break, especially if they're pitching prospects, because then you can kind of say, okay, well, the rotation, the order of the rotation is largely set. You don't have to play the games of, okay, well, this guy's going to start on this day, and then the Jays have an off day on this day, and then, you know, you only have to do that after the All-Star break. You kind of get a free pass to start everything over, and that's kind of what the Blue Jays did, and most teams do this every single year. So I would have said Ricky Tiedemann might have started after that, but I mean, if he is built up, it's just the language they all use, Pete Walker, John Schneider, and even Tiedemann himself, and this is coming from all sorts of the beat reporters that are down there, Shy, BNS, Arden, Keegan, all these guys saying that he is as close to being ready as possible, and it's not even about talent, and the mentality certainly is there, like you're saying, Jules, because, hey, if you have guys helping you with that, it's Chris Bassett. It's a good person to have you do that. But it's for me, it was always just, can he carry that workload for a starter's workload? Because he was never really asked to do that in the minors, at the various levels of the minors, and he also, even last season, shot up the minor league rankings. Like, he started with, I can't forget if he started with the high A or double A, but he was pitching very high in the organization by the end of the season. And now here he is where we're having the conversation, like, could he break camp with the Blue Jays? So if you are having that conversation, he must be pretty close. Like, I wonder if maybe Alec Manoah's potential absence impacts this, or maybe they'll just wait to see what the rotation looks like a couple of times through, you know, in the first month of the season, like until the end of April. But I wouldn't be surprised to see him up here by like mid-May at this point.
Yeah, the workload is a big one for sure. Can he maintain the dominance, the shape of his pitches through a longer outing? That's for sure something that the Blue Jays are going to look at. And hopefully there will be time to look at least one extended outing for Tiedemann in the spring. But it does seem like a start in AAA and working his way up is the most likely outcome out of spring training, just because the Blue Jays have a guy like Bowden Francis who can fill in that number five spot, say, if Manoah is not ready. We don't know. There's so many question marks there. Yeah. We're not too sure what is happening. And so with Francis having pitched as well as he has in the spring, he can slide in there and give the Blue Jays four or five solid innings to be sure. And then, you know, the Blue Jays will certainly take that from their fifth guy in the rotation. But looking at Tiedemann's ability to maintain his stuff through extended outing is going to be pretty crucial in order to make a decision here. So far, what we're seeing from him is extremely encouraging, Show.
It is. I got to say, I'm very excited. It's always, prospects are always exciting to talk about, which is why it's exciting, even if you're not an Orioles fan, to like talk about, you know, Jason Dominguez for the Yankees or Jackson Holliday for the Orioles or all these different guys, right? Like, it's more prospects and the potential they represent is always really exciting, which is why I'm really excited about Tiedemann or Elvis Martinez or Addison Barger or Alan Roden or any of these guys. So I do hope we see Tiedemann sooner rather than later. A guy who is not a prospect, certainly at 40 years old, but will be, we think, starting the season in the minor leagues, is Joey Votto, who did sign that deal, the minor league deal, the non-roster invite he accepts from the Blue Jays. He spoke to the media earlier this morning, and he had some fun things to say. And I thought this was really interesting because, again, he's being asked about, you know, what the expectations are and what his expectations are for the season, not just in the minors, if he makes the majors. Here's a little bit of what Votto had to say.
I may stink. I doubt it, but I was able to fully prepare. This is me at my ready after a strong off season, and we'll see. I'm looking forward to competing. You know, if I never play on the team, I'll have made friends and built relationships, and I know faces that if there is a parade in the city, I'll be amongst the crowd waving, Kevin, hi, great job, remember me?
That's Joey Votto chatting with the media earlier this morning. Okay, so first of all, I'm glad that he allowed for the possibility that he may stink and then immediately followed up by saying, I doubt it. That's the swagger of a guy who's played in Major League Baseball for most of his adult life, essentially. So that was pretty funny. Also, who do you think he was referring to when he said, hey, Kevin?
Listen,
there's a million Kevins.
First of all, the first part of that sentence is how I start every single day. I just get up and I say, I may stink.
But then you say, but I doubt it, though.
No, I just stopped there.
Come on.
However, so when he said Kevin, in my mind went to Kevin Gausman.
Okay.
But I do think that, you know, if you're talking about a parade and you want to call someone's attention, maybe Kevin Kiermaier.
I was going to say Kiermaier.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I really don't know.
Kevin Barker, maybe?
He should have been more specific, right? Because there are too many Kevins on this team so that we can't really determine here. But yeah, that was such a good interview, right, Joe? We really got to see a little bit more of Votto's not only personality, but his mentality, where he is when it comes to his game and the understanding that things are not going to be given or handed to him anymore. He's going to have to work for it.
Yeah.
We spoke to Keegan Mathieson pregame, and he said, listen, this is extremely rare to see a guy at this age who's probably headed for the Hall of Fame using terms like trying out. I am trying out for the team. I'm a minor leaguer. I'm going to start in AAA, and I'm going to try to work my way up. All of that is pretty impressive, to be honest with you, when it comes to his mentality and where he is. And just to say contrast with a guy like Josh Donaldson, who retired recently and who said, yeah, listen, like it had to be the perfect opportunity for me to go back and play or to go back and try again in the major leagues or whatever. I'm not saying that one approach is right and one approach is wrong, but it is pretty unique to see a guy like Joey Votto say, listen, I'm going to go to the bus rides. Like I'm ready for it. And if I make the team, great, that'll be a plus. I don't think this is something that we are going to see a whole lot throughout our careers in baseball media show.
You're probably right, honestly, because most guys probably, especially guys who have made like hundreds of millions of dollars.
Right,
I mean, like if I had, I'd be like, all right, I'm going home. I'm going to retire now, which is what Donaldson did. And kudos to him. The guy also had a phenomenal career. But yeah, Joey Votto, like I was a little worried the Jays would essentially eschew someone like Vogelbach or someone else just to have him on the roster. But that we're at the point where we're talking about him starting the year with the Bisons and then working his way up from there. It'll be fun to have a call-up announcement. Read the press release that they're calling up Joey Votto from AAA Buffalo instead of like a Nathan Lucas or, I don't know if Ernie Clement's going to be in that conversation because we talked about it. He'd probably be on the team, but a Spencer Horwitz or something.
Right.
And Joey Votto, again, Blair and Barker pointed this out on their show, but runners in scoring position, he had a BA of 283 with runners in scoring position in 2023. Again, small sample size, but that would have been third on the Blue Jays last season. So you hope that's something that continues. Before we go, Jules, real quick, on Donaldson, just before we go, he might not be a level of excellence member ultimately because three seasons and change, you know, you probably have to play a little bit longer or at least win a championship to have that conversation change. It almost honestly reminds me of the conversation about Kawhi Leonard, who is an even more extreme example because the guy was here for one season and won a championship.
For sure.
But still, some really memorable moments from Donaldson that it's impossible, I think, to tell the story of that run of Blue Jays baseball. Obviously, not a hot take without the guy who won AL MVP, had like the dive into home plate, right? Like the scampering home to deliver the Jays a walk-off series win against the Rangers in the ALDS in 2016. Like he always struck me as one of those guys you would have hated to have experienced as a member of the opposing team. Mm-hmm. And I think that was personified when he came back to Toronto with like the Braves or the Twins or the Yankees, certainly most recently, but you loved to have him on your team. He was the guy you loved to have as your guy and you hated as the member of the opposing team. And he did that for a lot of different teams over the years, but I find it hard not to say something about Donaldson because he was a really important member of a team that provided a lot of people with some phenomenal memories.
For sure. So many accolades, right, while he was here, and a lot of important franchise moments that he was front and center for.
Yeah.
And so it's at least warranted to have the conversation about level of excellence and where Donaldson sort of fits into this the history of this franchise. I do think that it's worth it to at least celebrate what he did when he was here, because it did change the course of a couple of seasons for the Blue Jays.
Like, Joey Batts was the last guy who was not in the level of excellence because he hadn't retired until we got it done last year.
Yeah.
But he was the last guy who was not there who I was really like, okay, this is a slam dunk. He's got to be on there.
Right.
And now he is. I actually think the next person who should go on the level of excellence is like Jerry Howarth. Honestly.
Right.
Like, I think that's where we are. It's like broadcasters. Jerry and Buck, I think, is going to get up there, obviously, at some point as well. But Jerry's been retired for a long time. And I think that's who got to go up there, I think, next. But then I think you can get into the players that are like kind of on the next tier, I would say.
Sure. It's great to be able to celebrate and to remember a guy like Donaldson. And what better way to do that than to have a little bit of a debate about is he a level of excellence guy or not? I think that's great.
Jules, this was a lot of fun. This was our last Jays talk, I think, of the spring, right?
Yeah, that's right. We'll certainly be back for the regular season show. I do appreciate every moment we spent here. It's always so much fun, so thank you.
I thank you. Thank you for hanging out with me. It's always a lot of fun. That's Julia Kreutz. I'm Sho Ali. That does it for us here on Jays Talk. Appreciate you being with us on Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by your local family-owned Crown Rust Protection. Protect your vehicle from rust today. For a special offer, find your local family-owned Crown at crown.com, Canada's number one rust protection. For Julia, for Tom, I'm Sho. Jays Talk returns next weekend. Nick Ashbourne will be along with me. We'll also have a slightly different edition of the post-game show with this top prospects game, which will be on the radio as well. So a double header coming your way next weekend. I'm looking forward to it. I'm off to watch the Oscars, everyone. We'll talk to you later.